Chapter 4. A Fish.
I just want you to help the Corleones, and I want you to help me,
Salazzo told Hagen. They were in the kitchen of an apartment about 20 minutes' ride from where Hagen had been picked up. Hagen did not know the area because darkness had fallen. Hagen's hands were shaking as he put a cigarette in his mouth and lit it.
Your boss is dead, Salazzo said,
then paused.
Now, you have to make the peace between me and Sonny.
Hagen did not answer. He was surprised by the strength of his own grief. Salazzo spoke again.
Sonny wanted my deal, right?
Sonny will come after you with everything he's got, said Hagen. And so will Luca Brasi.
You have to talk to Sonny,
Salazzo said impatiently.
The Tattaglia family is supporting me, and the other New York families will do anything that stops a war between the Corleones and Tattaglias because it will be bad for business. And as for Luca Brasi, I'm taking care of him.
At that moment, the telephone rang. One of Salazzo's men went to answer it. He listened and said quickly,
Okay, I'll tell him.
He came to Salazzo's side and whispered in his ear. Hagen saw Salazzo's face go pale and his eyes shine with fury, and suddenly there was fear in his heart. Salazzo turned and looked at him carefully.
5 bullets in the old man's Sicilian body, and he's still alive, he said. Bad luck for me, bad luck for you.
When Michael Corleone arrived at his father's house in Long Beach, Long Island, he found the narrow entrance to the mall blocked with a metal chain. The mall was bright with the lights of all its 8 houses, and 2 guards were leaning against the chain. The guards let Michael in immediately when they knew who he was. The house was full of people. Teresa, Tom Hagen's thin wife, sat in a corner smoking a cigarette. Clemenza's large body rose from the sofa to greet him.
Your mother is at the hospital with your father. He's going to be all right,
the capo regime said. Then Polly Gatto stood up to shake hands. Michael looked at him carefully. His father's bodyguard looked stressed, and there was tension in his shoulders. There were other men in the room who were not Gatto's people. Michael put these facts together and understood that Polly Gatto was a suspect in his father's attempted murder. Sonny was sitting in his father's office with a yellow notebook. The other man in the room was the Don's second capo regime, Tessio. Sonny rose and embraced his brother.
The old man's going to pull through, he said.
Michael looked over Sonny's shoulder and saw a list of names written in the notebook. He realized with a shock that they were men who were going to be killed.
It's Polly Gatto, Sonny said. We've checked his phone calls.
Then he turned to Tessio.
I want to talk about some family business with my brother. Can you wait out in the living room?
After Tessio had gone, Sonny turned back to Michael.
Salazzo's people kidnapped Tom because they thought the old man was finished and they could make a deal with me through him. Now, Tom's no good to them. It's all my fault because I showed I was interested in Salazzo's deal.
At that moment, there was a scream from the living room. They rushed to the door. Tom Hagen stood holding Teresa close to him as his wife cried for joy. When he saw Michael,
he pushed Teresa gently down on the sofa and then entered the office with the two capo regimes. Hagen told them about the deal Salazzo was offering.
I told him I'd talk the family into the deal, even if the Don was still alive, he explained. I had to, or Salazzo would have killed me.
Sonny lifted both his hands, telling Hagen he understood he had to do what was needed to survive, and it did not matter.
We have to make plans, he said. Freddy is no use to us. The doctor says he's in shock and needs rest. Seeing the old man shot down like that must have hit him hard.
Hagen said quickly,
Okay, let's not involve Freddy. Now, until this is over, you mustn't leave this house, Sonny. I mean, never leave it. Salazzo will be after you.
Sonny nodded.
What do you think of that list, Tom?
Hagen stared at the list of names in the notebook.
Jesus, Sonny. Isn't that too much? Kill Salazzo, but you don't need to go after the Tattaglias.
Sonny looked at his two capo regimes. Tessio shrugged, and Clemenza said nothing at all.
One thing needs no discussion, Sonny said. Pauly Gatto has to go.
He turned to Clemenza.
Make that first on your list.
The fat man nodded. Then Sonny turned to Hagen.
Okay, Tom, he said impatiently. You're the conciliary. What's your advice?
Hagen poured himself some whiskey from the bottle on the desk.
We speak to Salazzo, and maybe make a deal until your father is better and can decide what to do. We don't want a war.
Suddenly, there were more sounds from outside. Clemenza went out to see what was happening. When he came back, he was holding Luca Brazzi's shirt in his hands. Inside the shirt was a dead fish. Sonny lit a cigarette and swallowed some whiskey.
What does that mean?
Michael asked, amazed. It was Hagen who answered him.
It's an old Sicilian message, he said. It means that Luca Brazzi is sleeping on the bottom of the ocean. Brazzi is dead.
When Michael Corleone left Kay to go to the hospital at 22:30 that night, it was with a heavy heart. He felt he was getting too involved in family business. He felt guilty about Kay, too. He had never been completely honest with her about his family, even making little jokes about them. But now his father had been shot down in the street, and his eldest brother was making plans for murder. When Michael arrived at the hospital, he was surprised to see that there was no one guarding the outside and the lobby was empty. What had Clemenza and Tessio been doing? He took the elevator up to his father's room. There were no guards there either, just a single nurse at a desk, and the door to the room was open. Michael walked straight past the nurse into the room and stared at his father's face. Even now, it showed no feeling. His father's chest went up and down, and tubes hung onto his arms and nose. Michael immediately took a phone from the wall and called the house in Long Beach. Sonny answered.
Sonny, I'm at the hospital. There's no security here. No guards. The old man was completely unprotected. This must be Salazzo, Sonny replied.
I agree, replied Michael. But how did he call the guards off?
I'll get some men over there now, Sonny said.
Michael persuaded the frightened nurse to take his father into a different room, explaining gently that the Don was not safe where he was.
he helped her push him far down the corridor. Then, seeing several police cars speed through the hospital's front entrance, he ran downstairs. Sonny had acted quickly. A car door opened, and two large policemen immediately took Michael's arms and felt in his pockets. Then, a third huge, red-faced policeman came up to him.
"I thought I had all you gangsters locked up," he said roughly. "Who are you and what are you doing here?"
"Who called off the detectives that were here?" Michael asked quietly.
"I called off the security,"
the huge man shouted, losing his temper.
"I don't care if you gangsters kill each other."
Michael asked coolly, "And how much is Mr. Salazzo paying you for this, Captain?" The next moment, a fist hit his jaw hard, breaking it. Michael felt himself fall back heavily onto the sidewalk. There were stars moving in front of his eyes as he heard a voice say,
"Jesus, Captain, you really hurt him."
More cars were coming into the entrance. Men were getting out, and Michael recognized one of them as Clemenza's lawyer.
"The Corleone family has sent these private detectives to guard Mr. Corleone," Clemenza's lawyer told the red-faced policeman. Then, he turned to Michael, who was still lying on the ground.
"Do you want us to arrest the man who did this to you?" Michael had trouble talking.
"I fell," he said.
He saw the captain give him a winning look, and he tried to smile back. Michael did not want him to see the ice that had started entering his brain, the hate that was suddenly inside his heart. He wanted no warning to anyone in the world as to how he was feeling at this moment.